Of listener-sponsored radio in the United States with the birth of Pacifica in Berkeley in 1949.
KPFA On the Air chronicles the origins of the free speech movement, the first stirrings of the student movements at Berkeley, and opposition to the Vietnam War in the early 1960s.
Eventually spawning a network of free-form, independent radio stations across the country, including KBOO, which came on the air in 1968. So come join us at the Hollywood Theater, Northeast 41st and Sandy Boulevard, Sunday, November 3rd, at 7 in the evening.
Help keep community radio strong and thriving into the future.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Androids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com. Cue in your guys' mics.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, financial giant J.P. Morgan will pay a fine for mortgage fraud, but no bank executives will go to jail.
A Portland company is fined for air quality violations and failed emissions control.
And TriMet returns frequent service to 10 bus lines in the Portland area.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Aaron J. Bernard.
And I'm Brian Pritchett. The Department of Environmental Quality has fined ESCO Corporation for an air quality permit violation. According to the DEQ, ESCO failed to run an emission control system earlier this summer, resulting in the emission of more toxic particles. The steel foundry has been subjected to outcry by its Northwest Portland neighbors for many years because of its emissions. The $2,000 fine is the latest chapter in ESCO's history of pollution. Nicholas Caleb, a professor at Concordia University, helped organize Portland Rising Tide's Worst Polluters Tour. The tour was highlighted on KBOO's Occupy Portland radio in March of this year, in which the Rising Tide identified the ESCO foundry as one of the country's worst offenders and asked them to stop.
ESCO today. We're going to read it outside. We're going to ask if anybody from like the public relations or anyone in upper management wanted to come hear it. Otherwise, we'll just be right out here for a few minutes and then we'll be out of your way. We're with a ride called Portland's Worst Polluters.
How's this? Can you hear that okay? Okay, hold on. I got to open the letter up real quick. So this is in regards to ESCO's legacy, which we've been hearing a lot about in the news lately, and their place in our community. And this is on behalf of our ride and the community at large. ESCO, we've come to see you today because, quite frankly, you're a terrible excuse for a community member and one of Portland's worst polluters. You've been polluting the local environment for quite some time. As it turns out, 35 Portland area schools are in the top 5% of national schools with the most dangerous exposure to air toxins. 7 of these schools in Northwest Portland can thank you, ESCO Steel, for being the number one source of pollution, including heavy metal toxins like lead, manganese, arsenic, and chromium-6. Apparently not content with harming just those in your immediate geographical area, you've recently become heavily invested in tar sands extraction, coal mining, exports, and fracking for natural gas, while staking your future on building vital, mission-critical enabling equipment for all three, particularly drill bits, which wear out quickly and need frequent replacement. So that you've chosen to invest so heavily in fossil fuel extraction at a time when climate change threatens the entire planet is reprehensible.
KBOO's Peter Schoaf spoke with Mr. Caleb this afternoon.
Today we're talking about the DEQ finding ESCO. Can you give us a brief background to the story from your perspective?
Sure. A small fine was levied on to ESCO, which is really unsurprising to me. ESCO has a history of polluting Northwest Portland. The way that I came in contact with them was finding out about it just in news articles that have been published, or earlier this year, I guess, in the sort of the winter, there were some corporate ideas in ESCO of going public with their corporations. They suggested an exhibit at the Oregon Historical Society to show 100 years of how ESCO was a great company and all stuff. We kind of picked up on it slow, we meaning group of friends of I who started doing worst polluters tours in Portland and then sort of like picking out some of the groups that were getting away with environmental crimes and not even getting bad press about them. And ESCO happened to be one of them. So they're putting out a lot of press about, you know, their great corporate image, how they're great for the community, how they brought so much in. And we found a different story, one where their corporate model is one where they produce what they call mission-critical equipment for a lot of extraction technologies of fossil fuels, not only in the United States, but also around the world. So they have either direct or indirect holdings in fracking companies. They make machine parts for tar sands extraction. They make machine parts for deforestation. So they're pretty much invested into all of these sorts of technologies that kind of go against the culture that at least we think we have of environmentalism in Portland.
You were speaking about the worst polluters tour. How did ESCO compare to other polluters in the region and in the country?
Right. So for one of the rides that we did, and basically the way that the worst polluters ride is we would get a bunch of people, we would do a bunch of research, and we would do kind of a mobile teach-in by bike where we would ride to different places and talk about these polluters at their source. But a lot of people in Portland, you know, they don't see those effects because they're over somewhere else. They're in the tar sands or they're in somebody's mouth that gets blown up. And we don't see those local effects. But ESCO does have local effects as well. The local effects of their machine producing is that they put a lot of heavy metals into the air. There's runoff. So the neighborhood that they're in Northwest Portland, has horribly polluted air. And so the schools in the area that measure air quality, a lot of them are in the top 5% of worst polluted areas for schools in the entire country. It's hard to directly link pollution to individual companies because of the complexities of how particulates move in the air. But with what we know about ESCO's machine process and what we know about the pollution in that Northwest and Harbor area, they're at least a strong contributor to that.
Have you heard about any of their plans to do anything to actually make their environmental image more realistic, to turn around their practices and do something better for the environment?
They have an informal agreement with Neighbors for Clean Air. I know that they were facing some threats of broader community involvement and trying to get them to stop, and they've agreed to take down of some of their pollution levels, especially with things like lead that are in the air. I know that in the past decade, their pollution for heavy metals has increased quite a bit, and that the deal that they struck with Neighbors for Clean Air does not bring their pollution down to their pre-decade levels of pollution. It only brings it down to what they were doing a few years prior. It's a pretty, the informal agreement is pretty weak, I would say. Because they changed their business model recently to all these terrible extraction models, they've had to change the machining that they do too, and so they started to increase the amounts of heavy metals and lead in the air. Their decrease of 20% is far less than what they've been putting into the air for the last decade.
I wanted to talk about the recent DEQ fine. ESCO is being fined $2,200 for their air pollution by the DEQ. Do you think that ESCO is doing nearly enough to make up for the pollution that it's emitted over the past decade?
First of all, I think it's inappropriate, you know, to reduce these to just economic effects because we're talking about quality of life for kids their entire lives. But even if we were going to talk about economic effects, you know, $2,200 is a drop in the bucket for the cost of what future health problems associated with, you know, being exposed to heavy metals when they're young are going to do later on in life. So it's kind of silly. It's sort of a token, you know, like we know you're doing bad and we have to do something about it, so we'll levy some kind of a fine.
How can we here in the community get more involved and help ESCO to become a better environmental partner for the future?
The reason why these companies are allowed to do this is because nobody tries to do anything about it. We can, as a community, come up with tons of different ways to help ESCO to get away from extractive technologies. We can do things through direct democracy. We can do things through direct action. If I was living in Northwest Portland right now, that'd probably be what I'd be doing every day because I would want to be breathing the crap coming out of ESCO's factory. We should be pushing them to actually live that image and not just sort of leech on to the branding that's been done.
For KBOO News, I'm Peter Schoaf.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Ren and Dan to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, I'm Ren Green, here with Dan Johnson, and we would like you to call 877-500-5266 as soon as you possibly can to make a donation. Support our local news team. We're not just reporting for you. We are a direct action news team. As Ben was just asking in that interview over about ESCO, he was asking how we can get more involved, us as listeners, us as community members. We're not just reporting the news, we are engaging our listeners in it, and we ask you to engage with our station right now and call in to 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm. You got some thank yous for us, Dan?
I do. I have a lot of thank yous. First, we want to thank Lorano's Bear here in Portland, and Lonnie, who has renewed their membership. To each of you, we say a great big thank you. Now, let's get this out of the way now, because we've got a lot of things to discuss later on. We want to say thank you to those folks that have provided food for us. Grendel's Cafe at 729 East Burside, Montage at 301 Southeast Morrison Street, and Yen Ha at 6820 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Thanks to you also for providing food for our staff during the pledge drive.
Yes, our food donors thought about how they can contribute to KABU, thought about how they can support our community radio, and that's what they did. And Dan and I, we thought about how we can support KABU, and we're here pitching to you. We've got Aaron and Brian over in the newsroom. We've got Ian at the board. We are all giving the way we can, and the way that you can support us is by calling and reaching into your wallet and giving us your dollars, 877-500-5266. If you're not ready to disrupt your programming and turn off the radio, go to kboo.fm, or you can come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Dan, what's the bonus for coming in person?
If you come in right now, my friend, you will get your picture taken with Sharky. That's right. And she'll stand out there with you and smile. And honestly, she won't put the bite on you. We're already doing that. We want you to become a part of the KABU community. We think it's important. And you want to also. Pick up the phone, 1-877-500-5266. Or go online at kboo.fm and keep radio alive. You know, somehow or another, we're in this day and age when we have all of these electronic devices, and they cost a lot of money. But you know what? Radio is free. Just turn it on and listen to KABU 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can listen to KABU in so many parts of the state of Oregon that it'll drive you crazy. We have translators in a number of different places. So pick up the phone, become a part of the great KABU community, 1-877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm. The important thing is for you to do it now.
I started out in the newsroom. I'm still tangentially involved in news. And you would be surprised by how many people at KABU get started in the newsroom. Ani used to write news. I'm always just surprised by people who tell me, yeah, 9 years ago, I wrote news too. This is really the entry point for a lot of KABU volunteers. A lot of us get our start like this. So I'm affectionate for the news. Call 877-500-5266. Go to kboo.fm or come on in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and get your picture taken with the shark. But Dan, you used to do commercial radio. Is that the case?
I did.
And what made you switch from commercial to KABU?
I got tired of the commercials.
You got tired of the commercials. Wow. Yeah, if listeners are tired of the commercials, what is being a programmer like?
Well, so much. In such a short period of time, so much of a radio station's success or failure is based on selling advertising time. And if you don't sell advertising, they fill it with all kinds of clutter. We don't have that clutter here. I will say to you, my friend, pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. Let's go back to the news.
A Beaverton resident and former head of a national charity was charged with wire fraud and money laundering on Sunday upon his return from a month-long trip to Japan and Thailand. Brian J. Brown, who has pled not guilty, formed a nonprofit called Charity One Incorporated after leaving National Relief Charities in 2005. Brown then persuaded National Relief Charities to provide $4 million in funding to Charity One, purportedly to provide educational scholarships to Native Americans. The charge is that Brown and a number of other co-conspirators used the money for personal gain.
Tigard City employees will pay more for health care under a new contract with the city management. A new three-year contract will require employees to pay 10% of their health insurance premiums. Union members of SEIU are criticizing the new contract, saying it would fall hardest on lower-paid union members. Workers say they feel frustrated and unappreciated that management's response to their offer has been a proposed 10% premium share, with workers absorbing cost increases that exceed 5%. City of Tigard members have offered to shoulder a 5% premium share, but say that 10% is too much.
The Nike Corporation has donated $10,000 to the campaign fund of Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber. The incumbent governor has not yet decided whether he will run for re-election in 2016. He's served three terms as governor, first as a two-term governor from 1995 to 2003. He then returned in 2011 and will serve until 2016 in his current term. Last night, a financial disclosure statement was released showing that Nike Corporation has already made a major contribution to Kitzhaber before he's even declared his candidacy. This past December, the governor called a special session of the Oregon State Legislature to provide an extra tax break to Nike. Although the corporation promised to increase jobs in the region in exchange for this tax break, those new jobs have not yet materialized.
A new study released today by researchers at Harvard and two other universities found that the National Surveillance Program exposed by Edward Snowden this June may have been orchestrated by the high-tech industry through campaign contributions to Obama and other Democrats. The companies involved in creating surveillance software, data collection, and network hardware were some of President Obama's main campaign contributors. They were the same companies that then landed contracts to conduct spying on hundreds of millions of people in the U.S. and around the world. For more, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with Thomas Ferguson, one of the authors of the report.
I wonder if you can describe the main points of your report.
I think the simplest way into this is just explain what we did. We were working on a campaign finance analysis of 2012, and we typically do this quite differently from most analysts. We actually build our own data sets directly from the raw materials in the Federal Election Commission and the IRS. The IRS is where folks who do 527 contributions, which are big ones, record. What we quickly discover is what most people think would be intuitively the truth, which is that if you do the business community as a whole, you find that Obama trailed far behind Romney. There's a lot more money going to the Republicans from big business than to the Democrats. But when you start looking at individual industries, you find quite a different pattern. And the ones that jumped out at us were what we were calling sort of industries of the future: telecommunications, high-tech computers, software, web manufacturing. These all show essentially equal or higher percentages of support for the president than they did for Romney. And that quite struck us. I mean, the actually interesting thing is not so much that the president either equals or exceeds Romney, it's that it's so much bigger for him compared to where he usually sits in the business community. I mean, it's actually the comparison with himself, if you like, that is interesting there. You know, look, in a system dominated by firms that want to sell all your data, working with a government that wants to collect nearly all of it, through them, it's not too likely to produce a happy ending here. I don't think it's that difficult to strike a reasonable balance between, you know, demands for security and freedom of the accord with traditional Fourth Amendment principles. In other words, probable cause on searches. You know, I think Senator Wyden, for example, out in Oregon, has been actually quite straightforward on this. But I think we have a huge problem here, and what our study is telling us is we're dealing with a much more closely organized set of interests than most of us thought was there.
Do you and your co-authors have suggestions for how to address this this problem of excessive influence of the telecom industry?
Yeah, well, okay. I wouldn't try to talk for my colleagues. I'll just tell you what I think, you know, which is like Senator Wyden's initiative strikes me as a good one. I do think that it is time there was a thorough congressional investigation of this, and they need to make the heads of the government agencies swear to tell the truth when they do that. You'd think that's normal. Actually, when they've been testifying recently, they have not been asked to do that, although everybody else who testifies before those congressional committees does do that. I saw just this morning that a court held that a presidential directive that, I think it was President Bush did just before he left office on security, doesn't have to be, it was Freedom of Information requested, and that was just turned down. They tried to tell him, they told the plaintiff some story about, well, this wasn't really a government document of the right type. That's crazy. I mean, when you have secret tribunals that you can't know anything about, and that even a sort of basic documents that lay down criteria for what folks are supposed to be able to check and not check, this is an insane situation. It is quite alarming to watch the way, for instance, a whole block of journalists, you know, even inside the Washington Post, which broke some of the original stories, people at the top started criticizing their own reporters. And I think the national media on this, the big national chains, have been generally not so great. They have, they cover it, but I think not in the detail nor the hard-hitting quality that they should.
I do encourage people to look on Alternet for this report, Who Buys the Spies? The Hidden Corporate Cash Behind America's Out-of-Control National Surveillance State. We've been speaking with Professor Thomas Ferguson. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. And now it's your turn. Joining us are Ren and Dan to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
So, Dan, we were just talking about how you worked for commercial radio. What was that like? How much of your energy went into finding commercials for your station?
Well, that's sort of a long answer to your short question. I spent most of my time in sales and marketing. So that meant that I had to go out and sell advertising, marketing plans for clients. But I also had to write the commercials. I had to produce the commercials. I had to do the whole nine yards.
You were part of that whole machine.
Yeah.
And you said no thank you.
And I finally decided when I retired in 2006 that I was going to actually do something that I had a passion for. And my passion happened to be the underdog, the guy that didn't have a voice. And that's when I came across KBOO. That's when I came across an institution that's been here for a long time and serving the needs of many people over those 45 years.
So the underdog really doesn't bring in a lot of money, is what you're saying.
No.
Not the big advertising dollars.
No, they don't. But you know what? A lot of underdogs pulled together really do make a difference. And that's the important thing. Your $5 a month, my $5 a month, your $10 a month, and your efforts in continuing and sustaining community radio is what makes the difference. And I want to get that plug in here while we can. I don't want to forget about it. 877-500-5266. That's the number that you can call right now. We have folks ready to take your call, and they can help you. Whether you want to renew your membership or you're new to the Portland area and you want to become a part of this great institution.
Well, certainly, because we are here at KBOO, we're not exhausting ourselves out there trying to get advertising dollars. We're here at the station making content for you. We are giving you interviews. We are giving you music shows. We are not giving you sugar water ads or diaper commercials. We are in it to win it with community radio. 877-500-5266 gets us your contribution to this wonderful media center we've created.
And just to top all of that off, I want to remind those that are listening right now that over the course of a year, KBOO is going to provide more than 23 million minutes of commercial-free radio.
I think that's how many minutes we've provided since we became established in 45 years ago. That's
right.
How many commercial, not commercial-free
right.
minutes we have provided to date, and we want to give you many, many more.
And that number is growing.
That number is growing. And the number to call to become one of that growing number is 877-500-5266. Or you can go to kboo.fm. And we're all here, happy, smiling, and membership central at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue if you want to steer yourself on down after work today.
And if you want to come on in 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and you want to renew your membership or you're a new member, you can also have your picture taken with Sharky.
That would be me.
And she would love to stand there next to you and you could have that to hand down to the generations that'll follow you. But you have to start off by coming into the radio station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. It's a gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful day today. You cannot ask for nicer weather. Come on by the radio station. If you don't want to do that, pick up the phone right now. Dial 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm.
Well, the weather gods are certainly smiling on us this week. They know we're having a pledge drive, and they know we love our listeners, and they know we love to see you. They've made it as sunny as possible. So come on down, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, or pick up that phone, 877-500-5266. We don't get tired of saying it. We're going to keep on going.
No, and it's the way we continue reminding you. We're happy to come to you twice a year and say, it's that time for us to ask for your support. Other than that, you don't hear any commercials on the radio, folks. You don't hear us advertising for a client here or a client there. But it's simply us twice a year coming to say and to remind you that, hey, it's time to renew your membership. Hey, if you're a new listener to KBOO and you want to become a part of this community, there are folks that listen to Tom Hartman on KPOJ for a long time that might be looking for a home. And if you are and you're listening, this would be an opportune time for you to do that. Pick up the phone right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm.
And thank you so much. We are going to be going back to Brian and Aaron in just a moment to read us the rest of the news broadcast. In the meantime, call us, 877-500-5266, kboo.fm.
Members of the Obama administration met today with Senate representatives in an attempt to fix glitches on the federal healthcare sign-up website. The Department of Health and Human Services has dubbed the effort TechSurge and hopes to resolve the problems quickly. Pacifica reporter Alice Olstein has more.
The Obama administration is taking action this week to attempt to resolve the problems with the Affordable Care Act. Sorry. The president appointed Jeff Zients, the former acting director of the Office of Management and Budget, to oversee the team working to fix the federal website that serves as the portal for millions of Americans to sign up for insurance. On Tuesday, the Department of Health and Human Services announced what they're calling a tech surge, recruiting experts from the government, outside contractors, and private corporations, including unnamed top Silicon Valley companies. House Democrats attended a briefing behind closed doors Wednesday morning with Mike Hash, who leads the administration's Office of Health Reform. And many, including Massachusetts Democrat Jim McGovern, said they left the meeting reassured.
I believe this is going to work, and we didn't fight to pass healthcare reform to create a website. We fought to pass healthcare reform to get people enrolled in healthcare who need it.
But other members, including New Jersey Democrat Bill Pascrell, left the meeting with lingering questions about the tech companies involved.
How were they hired? Who recommended them? Some of them are here since the Bush administration.
how many people have successfully enrolled.
We need numbers. We want to see numbers, just like everybody.
And whether people who fail to enroll by the January deadline because of technical difficulties will be penalized.
If their problems are as intense as they are this morning, then maybe we'd have to consider a short delay in terms of the individual mandate.
Pascarell and several other Democrats said they learned in the briefing that in states that set up their own exchanges and voluntarily expanded Medicaid to more of their low-income residents, the enrollment process was much smoother than in states that refused to do both. California Democrat Ami Bera, who worked as a doctor before joining Congress this year, said the Obama administration miscalculated in betting that all states would come on board.
I do think they thought more states would embrace it. And, you know, governor's role in those states that haven't embraced it, you know, they're putting their residents at a disadvantage. So, you know, states like Texas and Florida that are complaining about this, they ought to take a look at themselves as well and say, you know, why didn't they work on it themselves? So, again, in California, you know, where our states have embraced it, where the health insurance industry and the medical communities embrace the Affordable Care Act, we're actually making it work.
Senate Democrats are concerned, too. In a letter to President Obama this week, New Hampshire's Jean Shaheen called for an extension of the open enrollment period, saying she's concerned those who try and fail to register online will become frustrated and won't try again later. But some on the left believe there has been too much focus on healthcare.gov and not enough on the healthcare itself.
The website is the easiest way to attack the Affordable Care Act and not really talk about the real issues.
That's Dr. Margaret Flowers, who serves as the health secretary for the Green Party's Shadow Cabinet, an organization created this year to push for policies and ideas not represented by Democrats or Republicans.
The conversation we really need to be having is, does healthcare belong in the marketplace at all? Do you see healthcare as a commodity in which people should only be able to have access to the amount of healthcare they can afford? Or do you see healthcare as a public good, something that benefits the entire society if people are able to get the healthcare they need? And recognizing that countries that treat it that way actually spend less and have better health outcomes than the United States does.
Flowers is an advocate for a single-payer public healthcare system, which she said would solve the current problem of website overloads because all Americans would be automatically enrolled.
You know, just like public education, it pays for the hospitals, it pays for the staff, and when people become sick or have a problem, they can go to any of the facilities and they can get care. They don't have to pass a test to get through the front door of, you know, whether they have the cash on hand or an insurance card to get the treatment that they need.
Some progressive members of Congress are also pushing for a single-payer system, such as expanding Medicaid eligibility to all U.S. residents. Meanwhile, many Republicans continue to blast the Obama administration for the problems with the Affordable Care Act and are demanding the resignation of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, a key architect of the law and its implementation. Sebelius will come to Capitol Hill next week to face questions from the Republican-controlled House Commerce Health Subcommittee. In Washington, I'm Alice Olstein.
The Columbia Gorge Hospital has been ordered to pay $2.4 million in damages to victims of sexual harassment by a former anesthesiologist who is now serving a 23-year sentence. The women sought $6 million each but were awarded just over $700,000 by the jury. The lawsuit entered trial October 1st to collect on abuses by Dr. Frederick Field from 2007 to 2011, who was indicted in September of last year for molesting sedated women. The suit claimed that the hospital and two of its executives knew about the abuses but took no action to prevent them. The jurors ruled that the hospital would have to pay all of the damages as of last night. The hospital lawyers have not decided to appeal the decision. 12 women have reported cases of abuse, of which 10 have sought remuneration. Two of the victims have agreed to settlements, while trials for the other five seeking damages are on the horizon.
A Beaverton company has issued a recall of more than 300 prepared salads and ready-to-eat foods distributed throughout the country. Reser's Fine Foods in Beaverton recalled the salads over fears that they may be contaminated with the bacteria Listeria. The items were produced at the company's Topeka, Kansas location and distributed across the U.S. and Canada. The Listeria was detected at a microbiological testing site in Canada. U.S. officials say that the contamination was traced to a Reser's plant in Kansas. The recall includes Reser's packages with a best before date of November 2nd. No illnesses have been reported.
Two schools in the Hillsborough School District have caused the Board of Directors to declare an equity emergency after receiving a 1 out of 5 on their school report cards. The two schools in question, W.L. Henry and Lincoln Street Elementary, received 3 out of 5 last year. The rating decrease has been blamed on changing school administrations in the past year, though nobody expected the disruption to have such a profound effect. At the school board meeting, member Eric Seligman described the situation as a fundamental issue of equity, adding that students living in those two neighborhoods deserve better. Both of the schools are in impoverished neighborhoods, but that's not the ultimate cause, as comparisons with Mubury Elementary have demonstrated. The discrepancy of scores between the two schools and Mubury have caused school administrators to examine systemic causes for the low school scores at Henry and Lincoln. Board members considered how to provide the ailing schools with the resources they need, despite concerns about fair distribution of resources throughout the district.
Public transportation will be more readily available next spring after a unanimous vote by the TriMet Board of Directors to restore 10 bus lines to frequent service. Restoration of frequent service has been on the docket of TriMet General Manager Neil McFarlane and will cost a little over $3 million. In its heyday, the frequent service routes carried almost 60% of bus traffic in Portland. In 2009, fallout from the financial crisis led to the frequent service budget being cut by 14%. The restoration will be funded partially by TriMet fares and by revenue from a new advertising contract. Of 2,300 TriMet riders polled online, 80% responded positively to the restoration of frequent service lines.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a new member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for the Underground, KBOO's Youth Collective at 6 o'clock. Join the Underground Youth Collective as they discuss the topic of fear. At 7 o'clock, it's a special program from the Pacifica Archives on the Civil Rights Movement, with a speech by Ella Baker. Tomorrow's weather should be patchy fog in the morning, changing to partly sunny in the afternoon with a high temperature of 66 degrees. In today's Radcast, we bring you the latest radiation levels reported by citizen scientists throughout the region. In North Portland, there were 33 CPM, Southeast Portland had 31 CPM, Beaverton was 30 CPM, Damascus 32 CPM, Seaside, Oregon 33 CPM, Kirkland, Washington, and Seattle, Washington, both at 31 CPM, Bellingham, Washington, at 32 CPM, Tenino, Washington, at 35 CPM, Vancouver, BC, at 25 CPM, Kenai, Alaska, at 40 CPM, and Sitka, Alaska, at 50 CPM. Radcast is the first broadcast of its kind where citizen scientists count radiation in the Northwest and beyond.
It's 5:39, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
How's this for irony? Ronald Reagan, who is worshipped as the supreme deity by small government anti-spending zealots, not only has a government office building in Washington named for him, but it's the biggest and costliest one ever built. The only face-saving factor in this sardonic incongruity is that managers of the Reagan building have embraced a right-wing, laissez-faire concept that the Gipper enthusiastically championed, privatization of government jobs. However, that hasn't worked out to be a positive for his legacy, since Reagan's edifice now stands as a model of private profiteering on the backs of workers. In effect, corporate contractors are using privatization and our tax dollars to transform America into a low-wage nation of gross inequality. The building is public property, but its food concessions have been turned over to such multi-billion-dollar fast food chains as Subway. Not only do they pay low wages with no benefits, but they're also being charged with, quote, serious, willful, and chronic wage theft. In particular, workers in the food court have filed formal complaints with the Labor Department documenting that while work weeks of 60, 70, and even 80 hours are common, they're never paid overtime. Not only is this a rank violation of our fair labor laws, but the practice also means they're being paid less than the minimum wage. This is Jim Hightower saying, come on, even Reagan favored at least a minimal level of decency, fairness, and respect for workers. Where's the morality in CEOs grabbing tax dollars to help subsidize their lavish executive pay packages, then turning around and stiffing their own workers in our name? To help counter this despicable corporate conversion of government into a force for poverty jobs, contact Good Jobs Nation at www.goodjobsnation.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Wall Street financial giant J.P. Morgan has reached a tentative agreement with the U.S. Justice Department to pay a large fine for fraudulent mortgage selling practices. KBOO reporter Ross Freeman-Levin spoke with investigative journalist and author Prothop Katerjeff, executive director of CorpWatch, about the case.
J.P. Morgan Chase, whose fraudulent mortgage claims helped to take down the economy in 2008, will very likely be able to write off much of its $13 billion fine as a business expense. How would you describe the case against J.P. Morgan and why they were fined?
J.P. Morgan is actually facing a number of different charges, including and notably charges around the sale of mortgage-backed securities to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are two government agencies that try to support home ownership for citizens. Now, what J.P. Morgan did, together with companies that it acquired, Bear Stearns and Washington Mutual, these three banks were involved in making loans to poor people who perhaps were not qualified to borrow money for houses. And essentially what happened was they marked these loans up as high quality and then resold them. And so Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and various overseas investors bought these bundled subprime mortgages thinking they were good quality. When the economic crash happened in 2008, house prices crashed, people lost their jobs, and they were unable to pay them back. So the government was saddled with all these bad loans. And this is what a variety of agencies have been probing.
Employees and executives at J.P. Morgan will avoid going to jail as part of their settlement. Prothop also described to me ways in which J.P. Morgan may be able to avoid paying some of these fines or have them covered at taxpayer expense.
So what J.P. Morgan is offering to do, or as we understand it from the media reports on this, is pay a total of $13 billion, which sounds like a lot of money. But when you break it down, it's actually not as much as you think. It's also been called the biggest fine to be paid by a single company. And if you actually analyze it, in fact, that's not even true. So the $13 billion includes $4 billion in compensation to homeowners who are in the position of losing their homes. Now, this is money the bank would have spent anyway, because if they foreclose on a house, then the price of the house goes down and they lose even more money. So it's better for them to reduce the payments to homeowners than to kick them out of their houses. So they would have spent $4 billion of that $13 billion anyway. They're also getting a tax deduction on this. So the Reuters estimates they will get as much as $4 billion in tax relief. So if you subtract that $8 billion from the $13 billion, in effect, they're only actually paying out $5 billion. This has been going on for over 10 years, where the Bush administration first and now the Obama administration has been cutting deals with companies. They investigate them and then they confront them. and then they cut a deal. The amount of money they're recovering is actually quite small compared to the profits of these companies that they have made out of fraud. So last year we were talking about $36 billion. Now perhaps it's increased and it's gone up to $50 or $60 billion. But it's really not a lot of money compared to the amount of money that Wall Street has made out of poor people by selling them fraudulent mortgages. So taxpayers pay for it in the biggest way. People lose their homes. Shareholders lose some money, but the bank executives get away scot-free. They don't lose their salaries. They don't lose their bonuses. They don't lose their jobs.
Is there a good place for people to find the research and the information that you've tracked in this case?
People can go to corpwatch.org, www.corpwatch.org, and we've been tracking quite a few of these banks. There are also other excellent resources out there, such as Corporate Crime Reporter out of Washington, D.C., and Public Citizen. These are two organizations that have really tracked corporate crime and that sort of thing. So those are the good resources for people.
This has been Ross Freeman Levin for KBOO News. I've been speaking with Protop Chatterjee. He's the executive director at CorpWatch. Protop, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ross.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Ren and Dan to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Our KBOO local news broadcast is a direct action news broadcast. We're not just bringing you stories that interest you, but we ask you to engage with what's going on. We just heard a story with Ross, and Ross is a volunteer. He lives here in Portland. He recorded that interview today in our studios. There's no magic. There's no corporate magic happening. It's just regular people getting together to bring you the information that you need. Because frankly, democracy is strongest at the local level. That's when your vote matters the most. And the people who produce this news broadcast for you, we vote with the same ballots. We are neighbors. We shop in the same grocery stores. We are bringing you the issues that we think are most important because they're important to us. We know they're important to our community. So if you would like to continue to support this local news, please call in now, 877-500-5266.
As a matter of fact, if you'd like some ice cream and you're in the neighborhood, stop by KBOO. I don't know how much we have left, but if you haven't yet renewed your membership, if you have not yet said, I want to become a part of the KBOO community, this is the exact time to do it. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and our doors are open. We've got the lights on. We're broadcasting, as you can tell. So just come on in, say hello, and you can even get your picture taken with Sharky, too. The big deal is, the important thing is, pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm. You can't keep putting it off. It's really important for you to make that decision, because what we're doing is we're keeping free radio free for you. And that means that we're keeping the big corporates away from our doors too, because we don't want to have anything to do with them. We want to be the independent, progressive voice for the Portland area. Pick up your phone, 877-500-5266.
Well, let's look at what's happening in the media landscape, even here in Portland, a progressive town, but we've got five companies, five major corporations dominating our media. KBOO is outside of that, and we'll give you ice cream. You know, when you subscribe to a major media company like Clear Channel or Comcast, they're not going to say your name on the air. They're not going to thank you for your donation. Or they're not going to give you ice cream. They're not going to shake your hand. They are just going to bill you. But here at KBOO, we run a little differently. We're at 877-500-5266. And now back to the news.
A new poll finds increased dissatisfaction with the Republican Party across the country after the government shutdown. The Washington Post ABC News poll found that if a congressional election were held today, nearly half of all citizens would vote Democratic and only 38% would vote Republican. 8 out of 10 Americans disapprove of the shutdown, and most voters believe that the shutdown damaged our international reputation and hurt our economy. More than half of the respondents blame the Republicans, while about 30% blame the president. The shutdown also weakened the Republican Party internally, exposing significant divisions between the Tea Party supporters and more moderate Republicans.
Chinese state media announced Tuesday that nearly 150,000 people have been convicted of corruption since 2008. President Xi Jinping, elected in March, says that he fears corruption could become a threat to the Communist Party's survival. Transparency International ranks Chinese companies as some of the least transparent of all companies in emerging markets. The group says that this lack of transparency may link directly to China's corrupt practices.
The Russian government has agreed to drop piracy charges against 30 Greenpeace activists and replace them with charges of hooliganism. Vladimir Chuprov of Greenpeace Russia responded by saying that the Arctic 30 are no more hooligans than they were pirates. He said that this is still a wildly disproportionate charge that carries up to 7 years in jail, which represents nothing less than an assault on the very principle of peaceful protest. Greenpeace says that the Arctic 30 protested peacefully against Gazprom's dangerous oil drilling and should be set free. But the Russian government also says they may charge some activists with use of force against officials, carrying up to 10 years in jail. Greenpeace accused the Russian government of engaging in cheap libel in its accusation that the campaigners did anything violent. They engaged in a peaceful protest, arriving at the oil rig in a ship painted with a dove and a rainbow.
And now the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. Israeli troops kidnapped 15 Palestinians during morning invasions targeting West Bank communities, and settlers injure a Palestinian child. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Scores of Palestinians alongside family members and friends joined on Wednesday the funeral of Muhammad Asi, 25, years of age, and marched from Ramallah city to Beit Likya village. Asi was killed by the Israeli army in his village on Tuesday after he was surrounded for 4 hours by Israeli troops at a cave. The army said he was a wanted resistant fighter. In other news, Israeli troops kidnapped on Wednesday 15 Palestinian civilians from the southern West Bank city of Hebron and nearby villages. Local sources reported that 4 civilians were kidnapped from inside the old city of Hebron after troops stopped them at a military checkpoint there. Another woman was kidnapped by troops as she was going to her home in the nearby village of Beit Umar. Witnesses said that soldiers stopped the car she was in, searched it, then took her away. 10 more civilians were kidnapped on Wednesday at dawn when Israeli army troops searched and ransacked homes in Hebron city. Earlier on Tuesday night, a number of extremist Israeli settlers attacked a Palestinian child after breaking into her family home in Burin village, south of the northern West Bank city of Nablus. Local sources have reported that extremists of the Baraha illegal settlement invaded the village and attacked a number of homes and residents, injuring a Palestinian child after assaulting her. The invasion led to clashes between the invading settlers and local residents, who pushed them out of their village. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ross Freeman-Levin, Peter Schoaf, Robin Ryan, and Jimmy Tardy. The producer is Sequoia Wright. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with Rebecca Peoples-Massengill about her book, Walmart Wars, Moral Populism in the 21st Century. At 9, hear Press Watch, News You're Not Supposed to Know with Teresa Mitchell. At 9:30, on A Deeper Look, host Linda Olsen-Osterlund speaks with Robert Hillary King, a released member of the Angola 3, about the Free Albert Wood Fox movement. At 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, Oregon writer Steve McQuitty talks about his new book, Here on the Edge, which looks at the role of pacifism in World War II in a conscientious objector camp located in Waldport, Oregon. And at 11:30, it's The Film Show, with news and interviews about the independent film scene in Portland. Coming up next is The Underground, but first we go to Ren and Dan to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
And there we are. Yeah. You know, we've got a great program coming up immediately following the news. And Ren, very quickly, tell us about that program.
Well, I'm not sure if it's exactly after the news, but we've got the Youth Collective, who will be broadcasting this evening. And here's an example of the underserved voice, that we allow people under 21 to come on in. They take the same training the rest of us do, and they can put on a broadcast. They learn to interview. They learn to run a board. They learn to make radio. And that's not something you get at any major media outlet. Usually when you see kids in the media, they're being cutesy and selling things, or they're on bad sitcoms. But, you know, we are creating the next generation of newsies and public affairs folks and DJs. Call us now to continue to support this, 877-500-5266, or you can come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, get a picture with me, the shark, and some ice cream, or you can go to kvoo.fm.
And, you know, we were talking in the last pitch break about corporate America and the media and how they're just burying everyone in everything they're doing. I mentioned last week, and I think you'll remember this, Ren.
I do.
I announced that I fired Comcast out of my life, and I'm really happy that I did. Because, quite honestly, the only good that it was serving was Comcast. It really wasn't serving my well-being. And that's why I'm happy to put my support behind an institution, and I know I've used that word several times during the afternoon, like KBOO, because it's so important to keep the voice alive. It's so important that we do what we can to tell our story in our way. And how can you help? Simply by picking up the phone and dialing 1-877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm. Stop by the radio station at 20 Southeast 8th. Doors are open. The lights are on. We'd love to talk to you. Once again, that's 877-500-5266. It's so important that you do that to keep us going.
Well, you said the doors are open and the lights are on. And that is what all these contributions do for us. Keeps those doors open, keeps those lights on, keeps the transmitters running so that we can continue to broadcast to you 24/7 from 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Call in now, 877-500-5266. And again, the website is kboo.fm. And you can come in, you can call in, you can click in.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland 91.9 FM, Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM, Philomath and Corvallis. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
The listening public, the other point of view.
There was a strong sense that this was the beginning of something that would spread across the country.
On Sunday, November 3rd, at the historic Hollywood Theater, KBOO presents an exclusive benefit screening of the film KPFA On the Air.
This documentary tells the powerful story of the beginnings of listener-sponsored radio in the United States with the birth of Pacifica in Berkeley in 1949.
KPFA On the Air chronicles the origins of the free speech movement, the first stirrings of the student movements at Berkeley, and opposition to the Vietnam War in the early 1960s.
Eventually spawning a network of free-form, independent radio stations across the country, including KBOO, which came on the air in 1968. So come join us at the Hollywood Theater, Northeast 41st and Sandy Boulevard, Sunday, November 3rd at 7 in the evening.
Help keep community radio strong and thriving into the future.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Vagabond Opera's 7th annual Day of the Dead Bash, the Transylvanian Voodoo Ball. This concert and Day of the Dead celebration honoring the ancestors is coming up on November 1st, 8 p.m. at the Star Theater, 13 Northwest 6th Avenue in Portland. The neo-gypsy cabaret Vagabond Opera and the Russian gypsy punk band Chervona will play, along with many special guests. Bring mementos for the Day of the Dead altar to honor lost loved ones. There will be a costume contest with prizes. That's the Vagabond Opera's 7th Annual Day of the Dead Bash, the Transylvanian Voodoo Ball, at the Star Theater on November 1st. More information can be found on the right-hand side of the KBOO.fm website, under Community Events.
Yo, you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Up next, we have the Youth Show. The Underground, yeah.
K is for KBOO, that's good enough for me. K is for KBOO, that's good enough for me. K is for KBOO, that's good enough for me.